Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you all wherever you're listening to us from, and welcome to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Nigerian labor unions are calling for a strike to protest a 70% increase in gasoline prices forced by economic difficulties and a shortage of foreign currency.
There's a high rate of unemployment, there's a high rate of inflation, and another round of increases in the prices of PMS, petrol.
DW has learned that South Africa's public protector Tulisile Nomkotsi Mandosela will be the recipient of the German Africa Prize for her commitment to fight corruption in her country.
She has proven herself as a staunch defender of this country's constitutional values. Through her unwavering commitment to her position, she shows that South Africa's democracy is very much alive.
Also on the program, we will be hearing how a theatre performer is promoting freedom of speech in Zimbabwe by staging a one-man's shows.
If we all fear to an extent that we fail to perform, who's actually going to be the message driver for the people? We don't have an option except to do it.
More to these stories in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Nigeria's National Labour Congress and the Trade Union Congress have called for a strike this Wednesday to protest a 70% increase in gasoline prices forced by shortages of foreign currency. Nigeria depends on imports, with oil accounting for 70% of the government revenue. The threatened strike comes as militants in the Niger Delta have resumed attacks and forced oil companies to evacuate some workers. The crisis is dividing labor leaders across religious and ethnic lines. In a moment, we'll be hearing from a political analyst telling us what the crisis means for the Nigerian oil sector. But first, here's a report about the situation from Sam Olukoya in Lagos.
Most of the affiliate members of the main workers' union, the Nigerian Labor Congress, or NLC, are in support of the planned strike. Ismail Bello, an official of the NLC, says this strike is necessary to put pressure on the government to reverse the price hike, which has cost Nigerians a lot of hardship.
From the point of view of labor, there are several issues already agitating the mind of Nigerian working people. There's a high rate of unemployment, there's a high rate of inflation, and another round of increases in the prices of PMS, petrol, as it were. We further fuel this deteriorating condition of living of the Nigerian workers. So it's natural that labor will never support this substantial, very substantial increase in the price of PMS.
But a few worker unions do not support the decision to go on strike. This include the two powerful oil workers unions, the National Union of Petroleum and Natural Gas Workers Union and the Petroleum and Natural Gas Senior Staff Association of Nigeria. Besides being opposed to the strike, both unions support the government's decision to increase the price of fuel. The two unions said that they believe the price increase will provide the necessary funds to develop the oil sector in Nigeria. The disagreement on whether or not to go on strike is not just among workers. Nigerians generally are equally divided. Adeniran Adeniyi, a recent university graduate, says he's opposed to the strike because it has become necessary for the price of fuel to go up in Nigeria, given that it is sold too cheaply.
Actually, I don't really support the strike because I think it's high time Nigeria faced reality. You know, we need to face what is on ground and we should move on. Because if you are not ready to face the reality, then that means you are not ready to move on in Nigeria.
But other Nigerians like Kombi Suleiman are in support of the strike on the grounds that the increase in the price of fuel has led to increase in the price of other things, especially transport fares.
Why I support the strike is because the transportation is high and we cannot continue with this. Cannot pay very high transport fare, and people are suffering. So that's why I think we should move on for the strike.
The government has for the past years been increasing the price of fuel. Nigerian workers and unions have a long history of leading the nation to oppose the government whenever it increases the price of fuel. The divided response among Nigerians to the latest price increase is a contrast to what happened in 2012 when the previous increase took place. In 2012, the workers rose as one and led the populace to go on a nationwide protest that forced the government in power at the time to reverse the price. President Muhammadu Buhari came to power a year ago. His popularity is partially responsible for the decision of many Nigerians to support the price hike, but his support may wane as many Nigerians now have misgivings about his rule following the hardship caused by the increase in fuel prices.
Sam Olukoya in Lagos. Before we came on air, I spoke to Aminu Umar, a political analyst, and I started by asking him what the current standoff between Nigeria's trade unions and the government means for the country's oil sector and production in general.
I think precisely it means liberalizing the petroleum sector fully, because over the years, petroleum, which is expected to add value to an average Nigerian, has become a cost to the ordinary man. More than half of the revenue have been cut away by people placed with the responsibility of ensuring that government revenue is judiciously spent. And the more government tries to tighten up, the more loopholes are created and the more power elite within the oil sector make things a little bit difficult for government to achieve its objectives.
After all these chaos and controversial policies within the Nigerian oil sector, Angola has now become Africa's biggest oil producer as Nigeria's output slumped to 1.4 million barrels a day. This is not so good news to Nigeria, is it?
Yes, it's not a good news to Nigeria. This is the first time in the history of Nigeria that an incumbent lost election and an opposition party won election. So it's historic to the extent that it has started manifesting in the political arena and the political economy of the state. And you know, the activities of militants, which have a little bit died down over the years, is gradually resurging back. So this has affected the oil output, and other African countries now have an edge over Nigeria in terms of its production.
Now you're talking about the militants, and it seems they're not anytime soon stopping the attacks on oil installations because they're demanding a greater share of the oil. Do you see Buhari's administration bowing to their demands?
I think so far so good to the Niger Delta militants, because lots of programs have been put in place to address their plight, better than any other program that has been put across to ensure public goods in Nigeria. And what really brings most Nigerians is that they have also not demanded accountability from their leaders, but are now demanding accountability from the popularly elected government.
There are reports that the Niger Delta Avengers, if you will, are sponsored by southern politicians to sabotage Buhari. How credible are these reports?
One cannot run away from it, especially if you appraise the situation at the moment, because the cry now is not even about the oil, but about secession by some veiled faces or unknown persons. And the crackdown on corruption can be used as an instrument to interpret it that way, because the crackdown is really serious, and you can see groups emerging without clear leadership to show that these are the people who are doing it. So if really government knows who and who are involved and know what the agitations are, I think that would have been better. But where they are veiled and you don't know who they are, the accusation against politicians can be accepted.
What should Buhari do to put the oil sector back to its right footing in order for the revenue that comes out of it can benefit all Nigerians and does not end up in the pockets of unscrupulous politicians?
The reality of the matter is that this is the first major step. Even though increasing the fuel price is painful, but at times you have to take a very painful decision to make things move forward. The refineries are not working, and even within the oil industry at the moment, there are people who are still making the work difficult for government. From the five-line regulatory agency to the NNPC, there are still remnants of people who believe in the old order. So checking corruption outside the oil industry, that is people who are like the militants and politicians and people who are also working within the oil industry, and genuine businessmen are in this sector. They really want to partake and exploit the potentials of Nigeria and also get their own share. The businessmen from outside Nigeria who are also interested in the oil sector. But the price and subsidy regime has made this a little bit difficult. So I think it is time for government to say everybody can partake. go and get, make your profit, go and make your money from petrol so that we can face other issues. But what matters to us, give us the revenue. It's a step in the right direction, but we must pursue vigorously poverty alleviation programs or social policies that would uplift the vast majority of Nigerians that made him to be the president, especially workers. Their pay must be reduced as quick as possible to meet up the likely inflation or upsurge in the prices of essential commodities.
I was speaking to Aminu Omar, a political analyst in Abuja.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Now, DW has learned that Thulisile Nomkhosi Mandosela, South Africa's public protector, who took on President Jacob Zuma over the use of taxpayers' money to upgrade his home, is to be awarded the German Africa Prize for her commitment to fighting corruption. The prestigious prize is awarded annually for exceptional contributions to promoting peace, democracy, and human rights. As the public protector, Thuli Mandosela has worked tirelessly to protect the public from corruption and incompetence by government institutions and officials. From Johannesburg, DW's Tuzo Kumalo looks at Mandosela's accomplishments and why she was chosen for the prize.
Some have called her a woman of steel, and others say she is the voice of the voiceless. As the public protector, Mandosela has worked tirelessly to protect the public from corruption and incompetence by government institutions and officials. This has earned her respect from renowned South Africans. Professor Njabulo Ndebele is the chairman of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, an organization established by the late President Nelson Mandela.
The efforts of her office have upheld the Constitution as the supreme law and ensured that nobody is nor should be above the law.
The 53-year-old mother of two was appointed to the office of the public protector by President Jacob Zuma in 2009. Since then, she has demanded equal accountability from both the weak and the most powerful. Among her more courageous acts was demanding that President Jacob Zuma pay back part of the public funds used for renovations of his private home. In 2011, she found that the South African Police Service had not followed the rules in renting a building housing the police headquarters. This cost National Police Commissioner Bekicele his job. The militant Economic Freedom Fighters leader, Julius Malema, was not spared either by the public protector, who found that his family trust benefited unduly from a tender given to his friends. The chairperson of the Independent Electoral Commission, Percy Tlakula, had to resign in 2014 after Mandosela found that she flouted procurement regulations. Most South Africans agree that she has done an excellent job, and even foreigners have been impressed. Wolf Krug is the regional representative for Southern Africa at Hans Seidel Foundation, a German non-governmental organization with a presence in up to 50 countries.
As the public protector of this country, she has proven herself as a staunch defender of this country's constitutional values. Through her unwavering commitment to her position, she shows that South Africa's democracy is very much alive.
Mandosela says her commitment to fighting for justice was emulated from the late Nelson Mandela, whom she says suffered gross injustice.
However, he turned that social injustice against him into a cause for social justice for all. Our entire constitution was born out of that spirit of people who suffered social injustice and thought that they would better do something about it.
Mandosela's term of office comes to an end later this year. Lerato Mutaung is one of the young South Africans already lamenting her departure, and she has this message directed at Mandosela.
Who needs to fill your shoes? Really need to speak to the character of that office and what it is we require for us to build this country of our dreams.
However, Mandosela's hard work has stepped on many toes, and not everyone is happy. Some in the ruling African National Congress have called her a CIA agent, while the party's youth have called her a clumsy clown and pseudo-politician. But her credentials are proving her critics wrong. Her list of awards include a nomination as South Africa's Person of the Year in 2011, being listed as one of the top 100 most influential people in the world in 2014, as well as Woman of the Year and Woman of Courage in the same year. Still, Madonsela's fearless performance has also earned her direct threats to her life. A whistleblower recently tipped her that a contract killer has been paid to take her out. But this has not broken Madonsela's spirit, and it has added to her heroic status among most South Africans. Many in this country say there is no doubt that Madonsela's latest cap, which is that of German Africa Prize, is a deserved prize for a job well done.
Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg telling us about South Africa's public protector, Tusile Mkosi Madonsela, who has been awarded the German Africa Prize. Still to come on the program, three football players of African origin have been called to form part of the German squad for Euro 2016, plus our weekly opinion segment. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host, and I'll be back right after this.
Behind the headlines.
In Zimbabwe, theatre remains a post for free expression in a country where free speech is limited. However, every performance is about testing the ruling elite's tolerance. Just last week, civic groups demanded space for citizens to air their concerns on issues affecting their lives without any persecution by the state. However, President Robert Mugabe's government continues to close spaces that allow citizens to speak up freely on governance issues, even though the country's constitution provides for such speech. Against this backdrop, Silvanos Mudzvova, a Zimbabwean theatre performer, has been staging a one-man production named Missing Diamonds. The play was inspired by President Robert Mugabe's revelation that Zimbabwe lost $15 billion of diamond money in the last 10 years to smugglers and swindlers. DW's correspondent in Harare, Privilege Mushaniri, filed this report.
Imagine I'm just demanding $1,000 and this one, I don't know, $15 billion, that one.
37-year-old Silvanos Mudzova, a fearless Zimbabwe theatre performer, has been staging a one-man production named Missing Diamonds. The play was inspired by the country's president, Robert Mugabe's revelation that Zimbabwe lost $15 billion of diamond money in the last 10 years in a televised interview to mark his 92nd birthday in March 2016.
$15 billion. You become more crazy. Imagine this money was given to that boy, that fat one who is sponsoring the Warriors.
Mudzova felt it prudent to speak out on the gross negligence of the state on looking after national resources.
This is my job. This is where I get paid. I have got to do my job. At the same time, I have got to inform the nation. If we all fear to an extent that we fail to perform, who is actually going to be the message driver for the people? We don't have an option except to do it.
Free speech is guaranteed under Zimbabwe's constitution, but the freedom after speaking is not. Artists are not always free to use their creative minds to question the ruling elite. Mudzova was arrested in April together with four journalists who were covering his performance at parliament buildings. They were released without charge after a few hours in police custody. Harare Theatre in the Park director Davis Gusha has fought for theatre to be a post for free expression.
We should be able to question without fear, without any favour, and actually just say, hey, come on, what do you think about this? What do you think you are really doing?
Theatre performances and films are scrutinised for content judged to be prejudicial to the state. Elvis Murray, National Arts Council director, believes it is necessary to censor the arts.
Art is very powerful, as you know. It can actually change the way people think. So obviously we must remain alert.
A number of plays and films seen as critical to the government have been banned in the past, but artists have remained resolute.
Privilege Mushaniri with that report. German football coach Joachim Löw went for a mix of experience and youth in his provisional squad for Euro 2016, which unveiled on Tuesday. Löw named 27 players to the roster, and the good news to those who remember football made in Germany on your TV screens in the early 90s, three of the players on the German squad are of African origin. Africa Link's Fred Muvunyi delved into their profiles, and his report starts with the coach discussing the youngest player on the team, Leroy Sané.
Leroy Sané has already played for us and has exceptional skills. He can bring something special to the pitch, is crazy fast, and has scored some impressive goals.
The 20-year-old is the son of former footballer and Senegalese international Sulaiman Sané and a German mother, Regina Weber. He was born in Essen and raised in Wattenscheid. Leroy has dual German and French citizenship. The Schalke forward is destined for the very top. German options up front are more limited than elsewhere on the field these days. The likes of André Schürrle and Lukas Podolski are consistent picks but not always up to the task. The sight of Sané dribbling through opponents' defenses and scoring goals at a major tournament is a mouth-watering prospect. The biggest clubs in Europe are aware of his unique talents, and it could well be that Real Madrid or Barcelona are looking to sign him. Sané has a good chance of making the final 23 for France. Antonio Rudiger is a 23-year-old German footballer who plays as centre-back for the Italian club Roma on loan from Stuttgart. Rudiger, whose mother is from Sierra Leone, is eligible to play for both German and Sierra Leone. He was a member of the several German national youth football teams, including the Germany under-21 team. Jerome Boateng is another player of African origin. The 28-year-old defender who plays for Bayern Munich is the son of a German mother and a Ghanaian father. Jerome Boateng has made 57 appearances for German and was on the field when German won the World Cup in 2014.
Fred Muvunyi with that report. The Euro 2016 tournament will kick off in France in just 23 days.
Opinion.
For opinion this week, we go back to our top story. Two trade unions in Nigeria with more than 6 million members intend to go on strike today to oppose a 70% increase of gasoline prices forced by shortages of foreign currency. Do you think the strike will address the problems affecting Nigeria's economy? We've also heard about some of the German football players of African origin slated to take the field for Euro 2016. Are you also looking forward to the tournament? Tell us your opinion on these stories by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link DW531110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957-59510, and we will read some of your comments right here on Africa Link.
For more about Africa Link, go to dw.com/Africa Link. Find out about Africa Link's partner stations. Send us your feedback in a text message and sign up for our newsletter, dw.com/Africa Link.
And now a reminder of some of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Nigerian trade unions have called for a strike to protest a 70% increase in gasoline prices forced by shortages of foreign currency. South Africa's public protector, Tulisile Nomkosi Mandosela, will receive the German Africa Prize for her commitment to fighting corruption in her country. We've also been hearing how a theatre performer is promoting freedom of speech in Zimbabwe by staging one-man shows. And just to remind you, in case you'd like to comment on the stories that we've covered for you and the show, just send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW531110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957-59510. And we'll read some of your comments in our Your Say segment every Friday right here on Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, wishing you a splendid day ahead.